Let's hear now the 29th Psalm, the Song of the Water, Psalm 29. The Lord's voice is over the waters, the glorious God thunders. The Lord is over the mighty waters. The Lord's voice is strong. The Lord's voice is majestic. The Lord's voice breaks cedar trees. Yes, the Lord shatters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon jump around like a young bull, makes Syrian jump around like a young wild ox. The Lord's voice unleashes fiery flames. The Lord's voice shakes the wilderness. Yes, the Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The Lord's voice convulses the oaks, strips the forest bare. But in his temple, everyone shouts glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the floodwaters. The Lord sits enthroned, king forever. Let the Lord give strength to his people. Let the Lord bless his people with peace. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Where do you encounter God? For Moses, it was on the backside of nowhere when he heard God speaking to him from a burning bush. There, Moses was told to remove his shoes because the ground upon which he stood was holy ground, sanctified by the presence of God. Jacob thought he had left God of his forefathers, Abraham and Isaac, in the rearview mirror as he took off for safety in a foreign land. Awakened by an encounter with God's presence in the middle of the night, he declared the place to be called Bethel, the house of God. Isaiah might not have been surprised to have encountered God where he stood. After all, he was standing in the temple when he saw God, high and lifted up. But even there, he might not have been expecting the seraphim and all of the smoke that filled the temple. The voice of God has been heard by people through the ages in many different kinds of places. The sound of God's voice was perceived differently by those to whom God spoke, sometimes in fire, sometimes in a dream or vision, sometimes in a soft whisper. Today, on the baptism of Christ Sunday, I wonder if Jesus was surprised when, as he was baptized and came up out of the water, heaven opened and a dove descended and rested upon him as the voice of God was heard to say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Maybe this wasn't a surprise for Jesus. Perhaps the voice was more familiar to him than his own. But did it surprise those standing beside the water who heard it? What did they go to the Jordan to hear? Did they expect to hear the voice of God? Had they unknowingly stumbled onto holy ground? They might not have been completely caught off guard. Maybe they, like many others before and since them, made a connection between water and the presence of God. Benjamin Stewart says, "For as long as humans have prayed, they probably prayed at watery places. Water often moves us to wonder, joy, terror, or peace. And many times water moves us to prayer, whether it's the awesome power of ocean waves, the cold upwelling waters of a spring, a small still pond, the sound of mountain stream flowing over rocks, deep slow rivers, creatures rippling on the surface, crashing waterfalls, nourishing rain on parched land, the seemingly infinite expanse of the sea, or hot springs rising mysteriously from the earth." John Gojab seems to almost pattern his definition of holy ground around the spiritual heritage of praying and listening for the voice of God around the waters of the earth when he speaks of holy ground being the place at once attractive and fearsome, where God speaks and we listen. That certainly fits the psalmist's experience of hearing the voice of God above the waters in this morning's psalm. It was a place where God spoke and the psalmist listened. Holy ground, epiphany, is just that simple. But the psalmist would concur that that place was a place that was at once attractive and fearsome. Look at the picture the psalmist paints with his words in Psalm 29. This psalm has caused some to see the psalmist as a prototype of today's storm chaser. The psalm itself has sometimes been referred to as the hurricane psalm. In the power of the raging storm, the psalmist hears the voice of God. Verses 3 and 4 speak of an approaching storm moving in from the sea. It is a scene of distant but approaching power. In verses 5 through 7, the storm makes landfall. The scene becomes one of falling timber. Only the strongest trees left standing, but they are ablaze with fire from lightning strikes. The storm moves farther inland in verses 8 and 9. No escape can be found by those who are attempting to flee. Throughout the psalm, seven times, in fact, it is the voice of the Lord that the psalmist hears in the storm. The voice of the Lord is heard as it speaks with all the power of a killer storm filled with unmitigated destruction. Is that what you might expect to hear, what the Lord's voice to sound like? Fearsome would indeed be an appropriate word. How would you respond to such a voice? Even the most adventuring storm chaser cannot long endure that kind of power. Why would God speak in a voice so fierce that it is difficult to bear? Well, it is sometimes necessary in order to strip away our pretensions of power and control, to overcome other voices of power that we would listen to. Sometimes the voice of the Lord needs to flash like lightning, eclipsing our own insight and understanding. Sometimes the voice of the Lord must cause all creation to shake in order to shatter all of our sureties, assumptions, and plans. If and when it is necessary for the voice of God to speak in fiercely awesome power, it can and will happen. Whether it becomes a place of holy ground or not, whether it is our epiphany moment or not, depends on whether we listen or not. God's voice speaks with power, but it speaks also with purpose. The psalmist not only hears the voice of God in the power of the storm, but there is also a realization of the purpose for which God is speaking. All the thunder, all the resounding power is a message of peace. God speaks to give God's people peace. Perhaps this psalm brings to mind maybe another time in which the voice of God was heard in Scripture. In the creation narrative, over the darkness, the void, and the chaos, God spoke, saying, "Let there be light." I can only imagine that it was a voice that spoke with all the power of Psalm 29. The result was the same, bringing out of the chaos, the darkness, and order and peace to all creation. God always speaks, it seems, to bring strength and peace to all God's creation, including God's people. God speaks not merely to reveal or disclose the might and the power of God's voice, but rather to announce and make known the power of God's steadfast love and grace. God always speaks to bring peace out of the chaos that rages on earth and within our very souls. God always speaks to invite us into a stable place of clarity. This is the sole reason God spoke in the first place. This is the reason we must listen. In our day, it seems there is so much noise we can't even hear ourselves think. Power blaring nonstop with claims of superiority, without regards for the needs or dignity of others. Any resistance is met with an ever-increasing volume. of threats of more violence and oppression, a noise that feels that it must silence all the other voices, is empty of meaning, regardless of the power that it might boast. Is there a voice of hope and clarity that can be heard above all of this chaos? A voice that empowers other voices rather than silences them? Yes. Yes, there is. God still speaks in power over the raging waters of darkness and hate and gives us light and peace. God speaks in power, except when God speaks in a whisper. This too can be the place of holy ground, an epiphany, if we will but listen. Joyce Roop, writing about the voice of God, says, "Calling softly to me in my secret place, offering space to try again, asking trust when I cave in fear, urging me to stand with strength, whispering daily encouragement, pleading with me to take risks, warning me that I'm in trouble, affirming my belief and belief in my endeavors, reminding me time and again to liberate my wings of goodness." This is the gentle voice of God speaking softly to our secret selves. This method of speaking is strongly characteristic of God. It was this gentle voice of God that spoke beside the flowing waters of the Jordan River when Christ was baptized, coming forth from heaven in the form of a dove, speaking of Christ, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." It was a soft whisper of God that continues to echo God's steadfast love of each of us, spoken again by God in tenderness over the waters of our own baptism, just as surely as it was spoken over the baptism of Christ. Epiphany is the season of the church year that calls us to come to the water, to take time to watch, to wait, listen, to pray. This time and place is holy ground where God speaks. The question is, will we listen? And if we do listen, how will we respond? Will we cower in fear? Or will we be still and hear the voice of God, whether it is heard thundering over the chaos of life or whispering quietly to our secret selves? When we hear, how will we respond? The psalmist tells us in Psalm 29 that there's only one fitting response to the voice of God. All we can do, all we need to do, is just to say glory with all of creation and with all that we are. Let us listen and respond by just saying glory.